naked shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome everybody to Iggy Garcia Live. So this is our show we do once a month. So we're almost at the end of the month. Just been super crazy busy. So I want to welcome to the show. So we're going to light a little sage here real quick. Kind of get us into the mood, kind of get us into the flow. I'll do it the old fashioned way. Yeah. Just set the tone for us here. Gonna light a little candle also as well. Gonna do the old fashioned way. Gonna light it with a little match. And this will burn throughout the show as we go. All right. Feels good. So we light these candles and we just give thanks to our ancestors, give thanks to those who came before us. And we also give thanks to those who are coming in the future, who are going to be here to share with us and learn from us, those of us who are already here. For we are the teachers and we will be at some point the ancestors, we'll be the elders. So that candle and the sage will burn as we go. And I have my phone here ready just to make sure and kind of watch things as we go. But anyways, I hope everybody's doing well. It's been a while since I've been on. I haven't really been in the mood to actually say too much because there wasn't a whole lot to say. There was just a lot to observe. There was a lot to just pay attention to and just kind of be in that space. And that's kind of where I've been. Just been in that space to just participate and be involved and just be sharing with others and myself and just doing my own little thing, working through different feelings and emotions and different things that have been happening spiritually, you know, physically, with my physical body and my spirit, my mind, because it's one of those things that we all do as human beings. We travel this journey. We travel in our own little bodies, our little spaceships, our bodies, and we try to get into that frame of mind. So hopefully everybody kind of understands what I'm trying to say, because it's one of those things that just sometimes you have to work through. Sometimes we have to work through our own personal grief, our own personal emotions, our feelings, and all the different things that happens to us. So I want to thank my ancestors for being there with me and supporting me on this journey, what we call life, because it's super important to me, super important to just the different things that we do. So the show is titled Divine Appointments. So I want to come across in sharing this because I find that we have divine appointments throughout our lives. There's just these magical things that happen to us, these things that sometimes we can't explain, but these are like great things from great spirit. Those of you who are connected with God, those of you connected to spirit, understand what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't understand may have another version, another word that you use, but we have these divine appointments with human beings. We have divine appointments with animals. We have divine appointments with nature and just different things that happen to us in life. So I find it fascinating when we have these aha moments in our lives. And I've been having a lot of them lately, even though I haven't been very active in the work that I usually do. But like, understanding that it's okay to be human. It's okay to be flawed. It's okay to feel what we need to feel versus trying to be something that we're not. So I watched this movie with my family tonight. It's called Black Adam. And I have a lot of parallels with movies, and I have a lot of things that I share. And, you know, it's funny how the world wants you to be something that you may not really want to be. Or that maybe you don't want to experience the world the way the world wants you to be experiencing it. So I find it fascinating, this movie. Dwayne Johnson, you know, The Rock, he was actually Black Adam. And, you know, the cool thing about it was, you have to watch the movie. I don't want to give it away. It's not the best movie, but it's kind of has a lot of messages, hidden messages about what it means to be a hero, what it means to have a divine appointment, what it means to fight for freedom, fight for other people's rights. When you yourself is not wasn't really necessarily your journey. You know, the hero plays a part where they want to fix things, correct things, make things right. And yet an anti-hero, who's kind of like a hero, but he's anti-hero. You know, he doesn't really want to be a hero, but he's called to heroism. He's called to that space where he has to step up and kind of do something that he doesn't really necessarily, or she doesn't necessarily want to do. And that's what Black Adam was in this particular movie. He's kind of like the anti-hero. The hero who, it's the guy who wasn't really a bad guy. He wasn't necessarily a bad guy, but he never really wanted to be a hero. It wasn't one of those things that he wanted to do. He was put into a position where he had to become a hero to some degree. That he had to fight for what they felt was right. Now, he didn't do everything according to how the other superheroes did in the movie. Kind of like life. Life calls us into these appointments to make decisions that sometimes are not easy. And sometimes are very difficult. And sometimes we have to really have internal battles with ourselves to decide. And, you know, sometimes we don't have any battle. We just do what we feels right. And Black Adam was kind of like that. He just did what he thought was appropriate. And because, of course, he's 5,000 years old, right? And so his thinking, his logic is from a time that's 5,000 years ago compared to how it is. But I found how fascinating it was that he was marked as a bad guy. And so many of us are marked as bad guys sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we get marked as people who we're supposed to do good and we're supposed to represent. And sometimes we just want to be. We just want to be in the moment versus trying to be anything goody two shoes per se. So I'm watching this movie and I'm sitting there going, I feel like that sometimes. Sometimes I don't really necessarily want to be the hero. I'm not trying to be the hero. I'm just doing what I feel is right. I'm doing what I think is correct. But then I'm judged by other people who set the standard and set the bars that you're supposed to behave and act this way. And so it's kind of funny, you know, to watch this movie. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm sometimes I don't always make the right decisions, and that's okay. I make the decisions how I feel it's supposed to be in that moment versus trying to make decisions that I have to make, you know, with a conscious mind. Sometimes we just react and respond because of our behavior, because of our programming, because of situations that put us in that situation. So I'm watching Black Adam, and I'm watching, and there wasn't really a struggle. He wasn't really struggling. I think everybody around him was struggling because they had to keep up the heir apparent, you know, that they had to do the right thing. But he just did it naturally in the way he had to do it. His divine appointment was he had to come back in the year 2022. And, you know, not necessarily, you know, hold that mantle of heroism. But he was there regardless. There was a divine appointment for him. It's like when we get called into divine appointments. We get called into divine appointments to represent, to do things a certain way. We can choose not to do them, or we can choose to do them. And so in this movie, I was watching it, and I'm thinking, you know, how many of us are like that? People say that we have to be this way or that way. And if we're not that way, then we're the villain. And, you know, sometimes we're doing things out of our own spiritual heart, our own spiritual calling. Because, folks, everybody has a divine appointment. Everybody has a divine spark inside of them that is unique to themselves. Everybody who's on the show, anybody who's listening to the show, everybody has a unique individual spark that only belongs to you, that does not necessarily belong to anybody else. And then if you're going to judge your spark to somebody else's spark and somebody else's divine appointment, then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But, you know, sometimes the energy of the hero is projected as, you know, the darkness and dark and shadows, right? From the darkness came the light out of that. And so they both have to find this dance, and they have to find this space where they work together. Sometimes it overtakes the other, and sometimes it overtakes the other, the yin and the yang. And this movie was kind of like that. It was kind of like the yin and the yang. The good guys versus this guy who didn't really know who he was. But yet, since he didn't fit the parameters of what this side developed and created, you know, he was in odds with this. But yeah, they all came to head and they all clashed. And they couldn't defeat each other because they're both the same thing. They just see things differently. They just approach life differently. But yet the heroes never saw that. The heroes never saw that this guy was not necessarily wanted to be a hero. He just thought he was doing the right things according to the programming and the information that he had and he had been using, that he had carried from 5,000 years ago, from the time where he was, which things have evolved. But yet corruption was still there. Excuse me. Corruption was still there. There's still evil. There was still the shadow part. The funny part was he's the shadow, and the shadow had to meet the shadow to some degree in order to defeat it with the help of the light. So then we have the gray matter, the gray area. And so that's kind of how some of us live. We live in that gray area of matter, where we spirit comes to us and shares with us. Because, you know, if you think about it, what is right and what is wrong? It's all a matter of perception and opinions and things that we have forecasted and projected and put on to society and how society sees things. People carry messages with them all the time, how they experience the world, how they see the world, and how the world treats them. But the ones who have their ideologies and belief systems sometimes challenges other people to behave a certain way and to conform, or they would be outcasted. And so we do that in society all the time. We create these parameters, we create these systems in order for us to see the world and make the world a better and safe place. Right now we live in a world where, you know, everybody has their opinions, everybody has their beliefs, everybody has their rights, everybody wants to protect what they feel is theirs. But yet we struggle because there's so many versions of the story, what it means to be human, excuse me, what it means to be human. But you know, nothing has really changed throughout history. Nothing really has changed. Things have evolved. Things have changed in the sense of evolution, but nothing has really changed with the human paradigm, the human mind. Humans still do things to other humans. Humans still take advantage of other humans. Humans still create, and they still take things that doesn't necessarily always benefit humanity. it may look like it benefits, but it doesn't necessarily benefit. You know, we see through the world all the different versions of how we see the world. But our divine appointments are very important to us because there's a time in our lives where we get this energy, this spark, and this thing that causes us to see the world differently and to approach the world in a different way. So what is a divine appointment? It's when divinity and you meet in a sacred space where you and divinity, or the spark of life, that white light, that shadow side and that light mix together, and they come and they create that space where you find yourself again. Now, you're going to go through life looking and finding and losing yourself constantly, because that's just how life is. Life is like that. You know, we find ourselves, we lose ourselves, we find ourselves, we lose ourselves. But the thing is, you just do the best you can. Do the best you can with what you have. You know, if you're trying to find perfection, there's always going to be perfection in the imperfection. Within the imperfection, there's always perfection. There's always these moments where we find that spark or that divinity, that divine appointment. And then there's always that place where we also find the shadow aspects of ourselves. Everything that happens to us is because it's part of life. There's going to be things that challenge us. The people in your life are unknown to you. Your friends, your spouses, significant others, your children, your cousins, your dogs, your goldfish, etc., etc., etc. Excuse me. All those people are, and all these things are on loan to us. None of us takes anything with us when we transmute and transform to a new form of energy. You don't take your car, you don't even take your body. Your body stays here and it breaks down, or it's supposed to at least, and become part of nature and be reconstituted back to the earth. But we don't even do that anymore. We've gotten out of that habit as well. But the thing is to just do your very best while you're here. And the thing is, we can be a divine appointment, divine spark for somebody else's life by helping them, by acknowledging them. You know, sometimes we wait for miracles to happen to us, and we wait for things to evolve to us versus us going out and doing the work and being the miracle in that aspect. Being the miracle to another human being or to the earth and to animals, whatever, is a powerful way to come to life. Why wait? Why wait to be a miracle why wait for the divine appointment? Create the divinity, create the divine appointment with others. Create that and make that yours. You know, for many of us believe that we're the splinters of creation, splinter of God. And some of us don't believe in anything, which is fine. And some of us believe in different doctrines and different religions. But no matter what, we always have this moment where we do some really cool stuff and people acknowledge you. And they say, yeah, you know, you really changed my life. I really appreciate that you did that. You really took something in me and molded it. And I had to hear that message from you. It's because those are divine moments in your life. These are divine moments when you have to hear something. You have to hear these words that you haven't heard in a long time. Now, I don't know what you believe. I don't know what's important to you. And that's not so much what I'm looking for. What I'm looking is for you to understand that you and I can make a difference in other people's lives. We don't have to change the world, because the world will change as we change ourselves and we change other people. as we spark, you know, these feelings and emotions in the people's hearts. You are the very magical spiritual creation the divinity has created. The great spirit has created, that the universe has created, that Mother Earth has created. You want to share that with the world? Then you have to get out and do it. And you don't have to be like social media or an influencer. Just helping your neighbor pull up a trash can up to their garage because they can't do it, or they didn't ask you, you just did it. These little acts of kindness create amazing things in the world. Little acts of kindness, little divine appointments. You know, we sit here and sometimes we complain and we pout and we're angry because our lives are not the way we want them to be. Well, I'm here to tell you, if your life is not the way you want it to be, then you have to take inventory. Why your life's not how it wanted to be? You really have to ask yourself that. These circumstances, blah, blah, blah. Those are just circumstances. You know, the world right now, you know, there's an old saying, the world could be your oyster, if you like oysters. Well, the world could be whatever you want it to be. Will you have to work at it? Yeah, most likely, yes. There's nothing that's really ever handed to us. We always have to put some effort into things. If the world that you're living in right now is not in a good state of mind, it's not in a good form, then you're going to really have to look in the mirror. You have to reflect back and go, why isn't this not working? Why is this not? Why am I not having these sparks? Why do I not feel magical? It's because the programming that we have trumps anything that we want to create in this present moment. You know? If we truly want to change what's in our heart, then we have to take inventory and look at what we're not, how we see ourselves and why we're not getting what we want. You know, no one can fix us. People can bring us messages. And remember, everybody's on loan to us. So we have people for a moment. There'll be people who come in to your life for a short moment. There'll be people there who will be there forever. And there'll be people there who are only for a short time. Regardless what happens, those moments are divine appointments with another human being. Every human you meet is a divine appointment. Every person you talk to is a divine appointment, even when it's painful. They're going to be people who make you feel the pain of who you are with them, through them, with them, and experiencing them, and vice versa. You know, there's perfection in the imperfection. That is correct. I mentioned that earlier. You know, we are who we are, and we're always going to be what we are unless we shift, unless we take that energy and move it into another direction. You know, we're very powerful when we believe that we're powerful. And belief is difficult for some people sometimes. And faith is difficult sometimes for people. But we can put faith and trust in a lot of different things, but yet we don't trust ourselves. We can't put trust into our own spirit. And we are very powerful people. Every single one of us, everybody who's online here, every 7 billion person in this world is powerful. There's 7 billion dreams happening. Feelings, emotions, all these things. Out of 7 billion people, the 5 significant people in your life are there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's usually 5 people in your life that are significantly connected to you. And you know, out of those 5, there's 7 billion people in the world. But these 5 people are in your lives, and they matter, and you matter to them. and they help you and you help them. Sometimes you make good decisions together, sometimes you don't, but regardless, these five people that are in your life, these are divine beings. These are sentient beings. For some reason, you have made a sacred contract to be with them. Will you know? Maybe, maybe not. The point is, when you're with them, you're there to teach one another. And you know, and that shifts. You have another set of five. Those five go away. Another group comes in. But you know, they're your confidants, those people in your lives. If you find yourself alone, then you really have to think about it. Am I okay alone? If you're okay alone, no problem. You move forward. But if you're not comfortable alone, then you have to make changes. You have to make shifts. So you're not alone. And what that means for you to move into that space. Life is easy. Life is hard. Life is all the things that you think about. Life is all the things that makes us not comfortable sometimes. And life can be so magically beautiful. We watch the sunsets. We watch the sunrises. We watch the trees bud and then the leaves grow. And we watch the leaves change to different colors. And everything just shifts constantly. There's constantly ebb and flow in the universe. There's a rhythm. There's a dance. But human beings sometimes avoid the dance of nature. We avoid the dance of nature because we want to be in control. We want to control what we think we need to control. But we're all divine. We're all divine. Even the darkest things that we sometimes feel, there's divinity there, but it's overcast, it's overshadowed, and it's buried. Why do people do bad things? It's like saying, why do people do good things? It really depends. But like I've spoken before, when one goes to the shadow, one goes to the light. That's kind of how it works. But we're constantly ebb and flowing into the shadows and into the lights. We're here to experience life. We're here to live life. We're here to say, hey, you know what? But you know what bogs us down is our own thoughts and our own feelings and our own emotions about life. And it bogs us down. And then we can't move. And then we're frozen, perpetrated in like petrified, rock, like a wood turns petrified stone. We can't move. We're still a tree, but petrified. And we have to move out of that energy. And we can do this. We can do this when we put our mind to it, our heart to it, our spirit to it, seeking counsel. And that's the biggest thing is we don't seek counsel. We don't seek information from others sometimes. And sometimes when we do seek counsel, it may not be someone who's qualified to give us the answer. But regardless, we're there, right? We're trying to do our best. But when you walk out to nature, and when you walk out into nature, everything has a divine order. Everything has a divine, system. You know, we're going into fall now. And you just watch how the trees automatically know. How do they know? Because it gets cold. Because the way the sun hits. Because the way the ground gets colder. There's a system in place. There's a system in place that causes all these things to fall into place. It also affects us. You know, we start to get tired. We get a little more sleepy. We want to sleep more. We want to hibernate. You know, there was a time when we were really connected to the earth. We were really, entrenched with what it was to be a human being, what it meant to be a hunter-gatherer, what it meant to be connected to, growing something or to hunt something. A lot of us haven't hunt. A lot of us don't grow. Now, there's some of you here online who probably do. But regardless, what I'm trying to say is our connection has been severed. Our divine connection to Mother Earth has been severed to some degree. Mother Earth is healing energy. we take from her and take from her and take from her. And then she has to respond and react in a certain way. Sometimes it's very, very vicious and very detrimental to our personal survival. But then there's also the beauty of Mother Nature, the things that she gives us, the things that are amazing. Like I said earlier, the sunrises, the sunsets, the trees, the rivers flowing. Our lives are like little rivers, you know, little patches of the river. You watch the river, especially when you're going down a stream where there's like little waterfalls and stuff. You can see all the stages of life in there. The rapids, we're moving through life. And then the waters move a little bit slower. And then the waters are just really still. You can see it moving. And then the bank, where the waters just almost look like they're subtle. How can there be such lack of movement in those spaces and all that river? You have fast current, slow current, no current, and just steady, calm water. You have it all at the same time. That's kind of how our life is sometimes. Sometimes our life is steady, calm. Sometimes our lives are super quick and fast. But regardless, something's happening, right? So if you guys have had any kind of divine appointments, anything that you've ever experienced with others, type it in. Let me read it. Let me see what you share. Because I'm curious to know how other people have experienced divine appointments. You know, a divine appointment could be finding a hawk feather, an eagle feather, a deer crossing your path, somebody pulling you back from getting hit from a car, someone saying hello and creating a whole scenario, a whole domino effect of just good energy flowing. These divine appointments are powerful. You know, divine appointments are just real simple things. I found this little sign. I'm not sure which one of my kids wrote this, but this is a long time ago. It says, "You are the best dad in the world." Just on a piece of wood, which I think is probably Dante, most likely. But it was in my papers, and I found it, and I put it up there next to my Last Supper dinner in my office here in my studio. And I see that, you know? You're the best dad in the world. Well, I'm the only dad they have, right? But regardless, you know, it touched my heart because it's like, in that moment, my child saw me as the best dad in the world. Inside of his heart or her heart, they see me that way to some degree. I'm sure I was probably the meanest dad too, right? But regardless, I look at that and I go, in that moment, that was important. That was important to my kid. That's a divine appointment. For me to find that little piece of wood that they wrote that on. For me, that's magical. You know? Other divine appointments are your car didn't start. You know, you get a flat tire. You're 2 minutes late and then you see that there was an accident exactly where you were going to be. If you would have been 2 minutes earlier or on time, you might have been in that situation. You know, we're connected intuitively and spiritually to all the things in the universe when we're open-minded to it. You know, we have that. Scientifically now they've proven that the mothers and their children, mothers have this intuitive ability to know when something's wrong with one of their kids. Just because of the incubation period that she has created, and you know, carrying a child for 9 months. You know, there's a lot of chemistry. There's a lot of energy that flows there. You know, men and women need each other, and women need men. Men need women. If we're procreating, that's kind of how it works. The yin and the yang. The egg and the sperm. The great Big Bang. Who's to say we're not a dust ball somewhere in someone's kitchen that just was never found? We're just sitting there. We don't know anything. We're just big atoms floating around. When you look at our universe, it looks like a big atom, right? Like the sphere of an atom, you know, when you see the books, you start looking at our universe, it kind of has a similar twist, right? Just magical. You know, I find it interesting sometimes when we look at the universe, we just look in one direction. We look in that little pinhole and we see something, we're flabbergasted because we just saw that little thing. But all around it, all in this empty space, which isn't really empty because the universe hates a vacuum and it hates an empty space, so it creates stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that our eyes are not trained to see. Our hearts are not trained to see. And you know, science can't see that because science can't prove it. But it's there. It's there because you know it's there and I know it's there. We look through the pinhole, boom. All we see is that little light in the sky. But then if we fixate in that one little spot, we miss the whole entire universe. The whole entire universe, we miss it. Because we're fixated in one spot, in one idea, one ideology, one frequency, one channel. You know, all of us are vibrating. We are all energy, and we can connect to all the stuff around us. We appropriately know how to do it. Shift one channel. When you turn your radio dial, you don't see the waves coming in. You just believe and trust that they're coming in. You turn it, boom, boom, boom. You have all these array of different frequencies just by little subtleties. 97.1, 97.9. You just change it by a fraction or number. This is what you get. Life is the same way. You know, you just move into one little space, move over to the little space. All kinds of things happen to you. All kinds of experiences happen to you. But, you know, we don't see it because we're in it. When we're in channel channel one, sometimes we don't see channel two because we're too busy being in channel one. But sometimes we get a glimpse of channel two and we're going, oh, wow, that's really cool. But we know how to get back to channel one because that's where we stay. That's where our energy resides. If we go into channel two, it could be scary because we don't want to lose sight of channel one. We don't want to lose the divinity in this space and move into another space of divinity. But, you know, we're able to move through this stuff because our ancestors did. They talk about it. They share about it. It's kind of even in the Bible. Biblically, they talk about when Jesus came back, right? They didn't recognize him because he was in a different frequency. He was in a different channel. But as soon as they shifted their thought and their patterns, they had the divine appointment when they could see and believe. But they had to go through that. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We go into meditation, we meditate, we go into that space, and we have all these experiences. But so many of us just live in channel one and never leave channel one. And for some of us, channel one is enough. Channel one is okay. We'll figure it out in channel one. We'll make the best of channel one. But for a lot of people, it's scary to change. It's scary to step out of your comfort zone. It's scary to step into another channel of life. To step into another rhythm, another energy. Because you have to do the work when you get there. When you step there, you're like, whoa, wow, jeez, what was this? What's all this about? Holy moly, wow, this is great, wow, you know? Constantly ebb and flow. You know, some of us tomorrow will do the same exact thing we did the day before. Go to work or not go to work, do nothing, just sit on her butt. But there's another group of people who just go out and they just totally just go for it. Right or wrong, failure or no failure, lose it all, it doesn't matter, they just go and do it. But there's not enough of us who do that anymore. Because you know what? To step out of channel one, you have to do work to step into channel two. But sometimes we meet that one person that teaches us how to go into channel two. That spark, that magic. Now, I'm not here to say how you're living is right or wrong. I'm just here to share that, you know, there's a lot you can accomplish in your life. There's a lot that can happen in your life when you put your heart and spirit to it. For a lot of people, you'll be the divine, you'll be the divine appointment with the things you share. You know, you will be the divine appointment for another human being. But our ego sometimes gets in the way and goes, oh, but I'm just little old me, I don't know, you know. No. You guys, all of us are divine appointments for other human beings. As much as we have divine appointments with some spiritual entities and spiritual things and with other people. I always tell my kids and I always tell people, you can change the world. It only takes one person to change the world, right? This is a true statement. One person can shift the energy of the entire world. With good energy or negative energy, you know, or indifferent energy, it happens. But you're like, but Iggy, how does that happen? Hitler changed the world. It moved us into an enlightenment period where we had to wake up. And we had to say, whoa, this is not good. We need to shift out of this. Is that a divine appointment? Yes, it's a divine appointment because it gives us time to become divine, and divinity steps in and says, we need to change this. And we have to fight this because it's not incongruent with us. But this is in history. Conquering nations, conquering people, conquering conquerors. You know, when you watch, right now we're watching all kinds of things in the world. The most notable one is Russia and Ukraine, right? That's one person's desire to step into another country and do what they want. Now the question is, what happens once that happens? Everybody's life is shifted and changed. Everybody, yours, mine, everyone. But that's not the only place where there's conflict in the world. There's conflict all over the world. And it all affects us. Sometimes we don't see it. We don't feel it. But it's there. It's there. It's there. You know, we all rode the pandemic train. We were all under isolation. We were all 6 feet of separation. A lot of us were masked. A lot of us just stayed home. It gave us an opportunity to expand our horizons of who we were. It gave us an opportunity to challenge our mind. It also gave us the opportunity to fall into darkness for a moment. It also gave us the opportunity to awaken in that moment. Some of us never recovered. Some of us are recovering. It will take time. Some of us got sick. Some of us lost our lives. And some of us are still fighting the battle of the residual energy, which is that. It was also a renaissance of divine appointments, where things are created, where people's lives shifted, where they are forced to do things that they usually wouldn't do. You watch now, there's all kinds of influencers, there's all kinds of things that shifted in that energy. You can't wait to be the spark. You have to be the spark. And if you're the spark, all you have to do is just shift. Shift. And you're like, well, that sounds really... Well, no, you know what? It is that easy to believe that you are. And the spark means that you don't have to... You don't come from a place of ego and become the spark. You just become the spark. You just do it. You're just the magic. You don't look for accolades. You don't look for people to praise you. You just do it. As same way as you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. That's the other part of it. There's a moment in time where you don't have to be the divine appointment. You don't have to be the divinity. You don't have to be the magic. You just want to be where you're at, in the silence, in the moment of yourself, with yourself. You're never alone, even though it may feel alone. But we're never truly alone. You know, every time you take your breath, every time you drink a glass of water, these things have been around from the beginning of time. The water has only just transmuted and shifted energy and shape and absorbed by other things in the planet. The air is the same way. It's just been shifted and moved. We breathe in, we breathe out. The plants come in, come out. Where all of us are working like that. I've heard stories where, you know, some of the water we're drinking was back during the time of Genghis Khan. Is that true? Oh, but there's droughts. Yeah, but that water goes somewhere. It goes into the clouds or into the soil. It gets absorbed, it gets evaporated. Nothing necessarily disappears. It just gets transmuted, it gets changed, it gets locked, it gets encapsulated. If something happens, just like us, we're affected by things in our lives. Something changes us, something locks us, something, we absorb it, we get sick, we start to believe, we start to manifest, we start to create. And then the thing is, our worst enemy sometimes. We're our worst enemy in the land of manifestation. Because we can manifest anything. If you can manifest things that you don't like, if you can manifest things that you like, all of you have manifested something that has come to you. And you're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I thought about this. And then other people are like, oh, I didn't want all this trouble. I didn't want all this stuff. It's just flow, energy, frequencies, channels. You know exactly what you need to say or not to say to cause a situation to occur or not occur. We know if we open our mouth and say something. One of my friends posted it. My friend Amy posted this thing about a grandma who was tired and she was whooped and she's exhausted. And so she makes pies. And I'm paraphrasing here. So she's baking this pie, and she just has had a hard week, and she's just had tough. And all the family's there, and everybody's, you know, raising hell, causing problems. Well, she burns the pie, because she's had it. She's pissed. The husband comes home. He sits down. They have their dinner. She pulls the pie out. She cuts the pie, slaps it on the table. It's burnt. He still eats it. He finishes it. And you know, and he goes, you know, and he's just looking, you know, observing. And one of the grandkids like, Grandpa, did you eat that burnt pie? I can't believe you ate that burnt pie. Why would you do that? Why didn't you just tell her why you were upset, why you burn it? He goes, you know, hijito, I know the pie was burnt. But I also knew that, so what? Was I going to beat up your grandma and yell at her? She had a hard day today. And was I going to spend all that energy to destroy her and to make her feel bad for something she did? She didn't mean to burn the pie. It just burned. And I just ate it because, you know what? I would just rather appreciate that she at least tried to make me a pie. She may have burned it, but I appreciate that she took her time and went out of her way. And it didn't work out in her favor, but you know what? I acknowledge her in a different way. And, you know, saying thanks. I appreciate you. And I thought it was a powerful story. You know, I was like, well, that's pretty powerful. Because he could have said anything to her. He just ate his pie and he acknowledged that she was having a bad day. And he didn't need to add more to that day. And of course, the next day she made another pie and it was amazing. Not burnt. Because he didn't beat her up. He didn't belittle her. But that's just the gist of the story. I know maybe I didn't get it completely right, but it touched my heart when I heard that. Well, I hope that you got a little bit out of what I was talking about today, about divine appointments and, you know, being the magic, being that spark. Because, you know, I believe that. That's why I always say it's good to be here. It's good to be here because it is. It may suck sometimes, but it's still good to be here. Because, you know, if you knew you couldn't fail, if you knew that life was going to just give you everything you wanted, what would you do different? But it's hard for people to wrap their mind around that because, you know what? When you haven't had it or don't know how to use it or keep it, it's very difficult. There was a study that said that if you took all the money in the world from all the rich people, in a matter of 6 months to a year, they'd get it all back. Because they know how to do it. They know how to create it. They know how to manifest it. They believe in that magic. They believe in that construct. And why would they get it back? Because most people wouldn't know what to do with the money they had. They spend it. They buy things. But regardless, that's what happens. You know, right now we live in a time where, you know, we're really questioning everything. And, you know, that's good. It's good that we question. Because some things serve us and some things don't. When we don't question and we just ride the boat, then we really have no control where the boat lands, where the boat takes us. So it's always important to make sure we know where we're going energetically with people or when we jump on that boat. Because it's not about control. It's just it's about trusting the process. So be the divine appointment for somebody else. Experience the divine appointments in nature. Experience those divine appointments with other human beings, with animals, with creation, with great spirit, with the angels. Either way. So that's all I have for today. But I wanted to share that because I thought it was important to share that. So also want to thank everybody who supports, you know, my work, my ministry, and all the things that I do through drum circles, through sound bowl healing, you name, whatever I do. If I've ever helped you or touched your heart, I want to say thank you for trusting me and giving me the opportunity to be and to do. Because I know it's not easy when we have to put our trust and our faith in someone else to help us through the processes. I know this feeling because I also, when I reach out and need help too. So for those of you who want to drum tomorrow, we'll be at Mystic Nirvana at 7 p.m. for our Halloween drumming. So if you can make it, come on down. So with that, I just want to say ho'oponopono, matakuyasin, irisikwi. It's good to be here. What's above is below. And just be well, guys. Just do your very, very best. Never quit, never stop. Keep moving forward. Trust the process. Recreate the process. Be the magic. Be the divine appointment for someone else or for yourself. With that, I'm Iggy Garcia. Iggy Garcia Live. I will see you guys next time. I will also see you on The Mind of Iggy, Coach Iggy. We'll see you on those shows. Check out withinsightsradio.com, iggygarcia.com, and subscribe on my YouTube channel. It's good to be here, Iggy Garcia Live. Sign up to my YouTube channel, Iggy Garcia. And yeah, subscribe, so you can keep in touch with me. All right, guys, have a beautiful evening. Have a beautiful night. I will see you guys next time. Be well. I will see you on these airwaves when it's time. On channel 1 or channel 2, we will see each other. Either way, it's good to be here. I will talk to you. And be well. Much love. Take care of one another. Honor one another. Be that divine spark. Be that love. Be that energy that the world truly needs. With that, aho. Be well. Love you guys. We'll see you next time on our show. ERC Live, The Naked Shaman. Whew, and I'm out. I'm out, boys and girls. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.